Okay, we're holding three lines from the bottom of Beis Amar Beis words Bishlama. We finished off bringing the Rabbi Huda's Raya from Holni Amalka that she was careful on even for the her chinuch of her children, of her sons, to make sure that they were done al pilech chachamim. So it must have been that, and it was above 20 amos. The chacham never said anything. So Rabbi Huda said that is a proof for my proof from the story that the chacham didn't tell her there was any issue with it for the chinuch of her children. It sounds very clear in our Gemara that the din of chinuch applies also to a mother as well. So that seems to be Shitas Rashi and Chagiga, Tirmaschal Ezukata, and Daf Beis. However, many are going to point out that the Gemara seems to very much be a Beferish Gemara Nazir, Daf Chav Tesamad Aleph, which says explicitly that a mother is not going to be Chayav in the Chinuch of her child. Many Achronim discuss this Shaila, so there's those who say that, no, in Echanami, our opinion, our Gemara is not the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara in over there is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan would disagree with this maskana of the Gemara from the Holni Amalka story, and that would not be the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, there's a whole shaila. Many Achronim discuss this: how big is the chiyuv of chinuch on the mother for her child? Either way, that's what we're up to now. So we're up to the words of Bishlama. So now again, according to Rabbi Yehuda's statement, which the sukkah was going to be fit for a queen and was above 20 amos, the Gemara says now it's going to finish this question. We are kind of in the middle of the question. The Gemara says Bishlama lama andamar b'she'in defanos megil eschach machlokes. And now I understand that according to Rabbi Yoshia, who said that the machlokas of the Mishnah is where the walls of the schach the walls of the sukkah rather don't reach the schach, then I understand because darkel shemakalesha besukkah she'in defanos magiyos l'schach. It makes sense to assume that a way of a queen is to sit in the sukkah, that the walls of the sukkah don't reach the schach, as Rashi points out, Mashem Avira, because you want an airflow, and Rashi just explains, because it's very hot. You don't want a stuffy place. You want to let an airflow. So therefore, it makes sense that a queen will sit in a very nice sukkah, and the walls won't reach the schach because she wants a fresh air to enter the sukkah, so it's not stuffy. Elamanda amar besukkah k'tana machlokas, but according to the opinion of Rav Chana bar Abba, holds a Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim are arguing over the sukkah that's seventh fachim, and also this could be a kashan. Rav Huna said that they're arguing over Dal and Amos. According to both of them, there's seemingly a question, and they say that Manda amar besukkah k'tana machlokas, the chitarkel shemakaleshe besukkah k'tana. Is it the way of a queen to sit in a small sukkah? A queen must have had a larger sukkah that she was with everyone. She wasn't sitting in a sukkah that was only 4 amos, like 6 feet, 7 feet, maximum 8 feet wide. She was sitting in a very big, probably very fancy sukkah. So a whole new sukkah was definitely going to be larger than 7 tvachim and 4 amos wide. In which case, we have a question on Rav Huna and Rav Chana bar Huna. What kind of proof would it be that Rabbi Yehuda was bringing a proof from above 20 amos? There's no way that her sukkah was that sheer. According to them, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim would agree that if it was above Dalet Amos and Zayin Tvachim, that it would be no machlokas. The Chachamim would agree. So if that's not the machlokas, what's Rabbi Yehuda bringing a proof for? Elamai, it must be Rabbi Yehuda's bringing a proof for the case where the walls don't reach the schach. So it seems to be a raya for Rabbi Yoshia. So the Gemara says, how is Rav Huna and Rav Chanan going to explain the story of Holni Amalka? The Gemara says the following: Amar Rabba Bar Rav Ada, Rabba Bar Ada said, Lo nitzrucha ela sukkah asuyak kitnios. That Holni's case is only talking about where everybody was sitting with her. They had several small little like compartments, little rooms of the sukkah. Each one was measuring 7 tfachim according to that Amora, or according to Dalet Amos, according to, I think it was Rav Huna, who says that it was one of Dalet Amos. So that was what, each one was singing in an individual compartment of Dalet Amos within the bigger sukkah itself. So the Gemara says, Chitarka shel makaleshi basukas kinias. That also doesn't make sense. Each one, she's sitting in a tiny little Dalet Amos at most 6 feet. That's all she's sitting in. It's pretty small. That's all she was, and they're sitting in the adjacent rooms. That doesn't make sense. The Gemara says, Amar Vashi, lenitzucha ela kinias sheba. No. Holdi was in fact, she was sitting so I kind of gave her the maskana that she was in a small room within a very large sukkah, that it could take one large area, and then they had small little areas, private areas, to each one to eat her sukkah. And that actually makes sense, because that's more private, and that is Ravashi saying that makes sense, that would be the machlokas. And the Gemara now says, Rabbanan say, Baneak b'sukkah malya havias, the Holy sons were sitting in the kosher sukkah, the outside sukkah, which according to everybody is going to be kosher. According, again, this is Rav Huna and Rav Chanan Rav Chanan bar Abba's opinion. So according to them, everyone would agree, even Chacham would agree that's kosher, even if it's above 20 amos, because it's a bigger spatial area. She just wanted her own private sukkah, so she sat with a wall around hers, and she had a separate sukkah. And so then, the Chacham didn't say anything to her. Her sukkah was in fact pasul, but from the fact that she was a woman, she's not chayiv in the sukkah. Chachamim didn't say anything to her. Rabbi Yehuda says, Banea gaba avu yasfe. No, they were sitting with her. They were sitting in her small room. If they were sitting in her small room, then if it's really true that a sukkah that's less than a shear of either zayin tefachim, seven tefachim, or dalet amos has to be below 20 amos high, so then afilachil amar davar, they didn't say anything to her. How could it be that they didn't say anything to her? So this must be Rabbi Yehuda's proof that in fact the chachamim, that it must be that if it's above 20 amos, even in this small area, that would be kosher. Again, according to both of them, if it is a spatial area, either of above 7 tefachim or of above dalet amos, each one according to their opinion, everybody would agree, even chacham would agree, it could be above 20 amos. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, now we're going to continue the discussion with the minimum length and the width for a sukkah. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, halacha tzricha shei machzekes rosh av ribo shulchanah. What is the minimum shear of a sukkah? It has to be that it's going to be able to fit one's head and most of his body and also your table. You need a table over there. This is going to be a shear of zayin al zayin tefachim. That's the minimum shear over here. Then it means 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. And anything larger than that would be kosher for a sukkah. Amar le Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, kiman ki Beis Shammai. This ruling is seemingly going to according to Beis Shammai in this halacha. So we are following Beis Shammai because we're going to see later, but we're going to get into this more, but the Mishnah and Chaf Chesam and Alf is going to tell us that Mishnah Yerosh of Ribba Bashulchan and Basulcha Bayis, Beis Shammai Posim, Beis Hamach Shirin. If someone who has a head of and most of his body was in a sukkah, but his table was inside the house, Beis Shammai say that it's going to be puzzle, and Beis Hillel said, invalid rather, so Machshir, and that's that lashon is going to be important. It's postal, and it's going to be puzzle, invalid, and Machshir, and Beis Hillel is going to say that it's kosher. So Rabbi Abba is surprised that Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak is going to follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. So that's a question over here. Are we going to really follow Beis Shammai? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Ela Kaman. No, yeah, I am. Meaning Beis Shammai is in fact correct. And the Gemara just says, Ikadami, another version, seemingly, no machlok, is going to say maybe there is a difference to this version. Amar Rav Abba de Amar Lemani, who is this ruling? Amar Le'er, Shmuel Yitzchak said, Beis Shammai below says, Uzmina, this is the opinion of Beis Shammai, and we should not move from this opinion, meaning we're following the Shita Beis Shammai. In this case, Halacha follows Beis Shammai. Just a few points from this Gemara over here. We see that the minimum shear of a sukkah that could be kosher is Zayin al Zayin Tfachin. So the Trumas Edeshan was asked, if there's only space in a sukkah, you can't even lie down, you have to be all scrunched up. Is that going to be kosher? Is that going to be considered mitzvah, in which case you don't have to sleep in the sukkah, you could sleep in your house. That's all you have room for. You have to bundle up, that's all the room. If you lie that down, there's no room for you in the sukkah, you won't be in the sukkah. So the Trumas Edeshan brings a raya for this Gemara. He says that a minimum shear of a sukkah, Zayin al Zayin, seemingly, that's not called mitzvah. You have a chiyav to make yourself bundle up and bunch yourself and make yourself smaller and able to sleep in that sukkah. The Chacham Tzvi says, no, that's definitely, we're talking about maybe over eating over here. Who said it in the bed sleeping? So Chacham Tzvi disagrees, and he says maybe that would be considered a mitzvah. Just one more arara, the Dovah Misharim also says from this Gemara that the Dov Misharim points out from this Gemara that we see that if a person, seemingly, Zayin al Zayin Tefachim, seemingly, for sure is only able to fit one person. So he was wondering, there's an Isser based on the Gemara and Shabbos, I think, it says that it's usher to sleep alone at night, it's a sakana. So can you sleep in the Tzorchei Mitzvah? There's potentially a Terem. So he's wondering, is this considered Tzorchei Mitzvah where you could sleep by yourself? He says, for sure, because the Sukkah of Kasher Zayin al Zayin Tefachim, you must be able to sleep in it. And since you must be able to sleep in it, he brings a raya from here that you would be able to sleep in it alone. Okay, fascinating thing. And we see over here just Lamaskana that we're paskining like Beis Shammai. There's a very important Tosfos or Shetzer to refer to those Tosfos all the time. Whenever those Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel that we were doing in any Mishnah, in any Gemara, whether it was Ksubas, whether it was Kiddush, whatever Gemaras we did with him, whenever there was a Shita Beis Shammai, he says, we do not paskin like Beis Shammai except for the six cases, Tosfos on Dav, Gibel, and Sukkah. He quoted it all the time. That's why I know this Tosfos. This Tosfos says over here, quotes the Seder of Amram, that there are six cases where we paskin Alecha Beis Shammai, and this is one of them. So this is one of the monumental cases in Shas. We have them in Brachos about the case of how you eat, not ledayim, mechab din abayim, vachach nos ledayim, and we also have it by sudden. But there's a few other cases, look over here, and the Tosfos, very important Tosfos over here, that discusses the six cases where we pass Beis Shammai. So this is one of the only six cases in Shas, of the many machloksim of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, we've seen throughout the Mishnayos. This is the only, one of the six that we will pass in like Beis Shammai. So now the Gemara asks on this, Maski Flor of Nachman Yitzchak. Nachman Yitzchak has a question on Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's understanding that we're going to pass in like Beis Shammai. Maida Beis Shammai. How do you understand that we're passing like Beis Shammai? U Beis Hillel basuka ktana pligi. And Beis Hillel, you're assuming that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing the matter of when it comes to a small sukkah, that they're also talking about the minimum shear over here. Dilma basuka gdola pligi. No, maybe over here, the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that we're talking about in the Mishnah on Ches over there, that's referring to a different machlokes that what is kigod yasiv apuma de motlova shachana basuka bayis, where one sits in the entrance of the sukkah and his table is totally inside the house. Over there, that would be a case where it, if your Rashi's description is that he sits inside the entrance and his sukkah is lining totally outside the house, we're afraid that you're going to be the Bishamay Sarvegzeron Shamay Mashik Achar Shulchano. Bishamay is afraid that we're going to be afraid that lest you be drawn after your table and eat inside the house. Whereas Bishilo say, we do not say such a circumstance is going to be usher. They're not concerned with it. And this is only the Gzer Shamay Mashik that we're afraid if a person has his table totally in the if a person has a table totally in the inside the house and not in the sukkah, so then we're afraid that that would lead him to want to eat inside the house and accidentally come to eat inside the house. Important to note that the only gzera over here is where the table is totally in your house. But as the Mishnah Berurah in the very beginning of halacha of Sif Dalad in Siman Tesh Taf Reish Lamed Dalad Sif Dalad Mishnah Berurah over there Sif Katan Vav, the Mishnah Berurah says if it's Miktsa Shulchan Omid Basukah Miktsaso Tocha Bayis, if part of your table is in the sukkah and part of it is in Tocha Bayis, that's going to be mutter. That's no gzera. The Lok Zuna Shamei Yimashech Achash Shulchan. We have no gzera over there that you lest you come to be Yimashech Achash Shulchan. Alvalim Kol Shulchan Bayis Afilu Hu Yoshev Kula Basukah Basukah Isukadol Basukah Aser. That's the case we're talking about over here in the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about the case where your sukkah, your table, is totally in your house. That's going to be the issue, and that's very nogea because you don't realize that if your sukkah is partially under schach puzzle, that for all purposes that would be like your house. So many times you'll have a big table that goes to the very end of a sukkah, where the end of the sukkah, that area for the reason is not considered a kosher part. Let's say it's under the wall, it's under something that's not kosher. So that area, in fact, is not going to be an issue. You just make sure not to sit there. But there's no gzera that the whole table needs to be under kosher schach. That is it. That is the important part of when it comes to the gzera of Bishamai. So now again, the Gemara is just going back to Gemara. The Gemara is pointing out that maybe this is the only machlokas in the case where you have a big sukkah. Who says that Bishamai and Bishilal are arguing the minimum shear? Maybe Bishilal agree with the minimum shear of Bishamai. So the Gemara says, "V'daikanami." The Gemara says, maybe I can even bring a proof that that's true. That they're only arguing over with regards to this gzera and not in the case of the minimum shear, because the Tana, the Mishnah tells us, the Tana says, "Mishaya roshav ruba basukah v'shulchan basukah bayis Bishamai posam Bishilal machshirin." That in a case where someone has his head of most of his body and table inside the table's totally inside the house, but Shammai said that the case is going to be pasul, it's going to be invalid. Where Beis Hillel said that it's going to be mashir, it's going to be valid. V'im Issa, if it's true that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing over the minimum shear required for every case of a sukkah, machzekes v'im machzekes v'bayle. Why does the Mishnah tell us the case very simply that if the sukkah is able to have rosho v'rubo v'shulchano, then it's going to be kosher. And if it's not, Beis Shammai is going to say that it's going to be pasul. Beis Hillel is going to say that it's really kosher. By telling us that the case is someone who happened to have this case where you were sitting in the sukkah and the table was outside, the Mishnah seems to be mashma, it seems to be implying from the Mishnah that Bishamai and Bishilal are arguing over the fact, well, that is it going to be mutter in a case of eating in a sukkah, not over the fact that the sukkah itself is kosher. So the Gemara now says, uvasukkah ktane lo pligi, but the Gemara wants to go back. It says, you may have had your implication for the Mishnah, but it's really not true. I'll bring another implication that implies that it really is the fact that they're arguing over the minimum shear. How do I know that? But Tanya, the Braces says explicitly, machzeket rosh of ruba shulchan makshira, that if you have a sukkah which is accommodating someone's head and most of his body and the table, then it's going to be kosher. However, Rebbe says, Achei Rebbe, Arba Amos, Al Arba Amos. Rebbe says that you need 4 amos by 4 amos. Now, the Tana Kama, the Braisa, is holding that the sukkah must be large enough to have one's table as well in that. So let's see what exactly that's going to be played. But on Idach, we have another Braisa which says, Rebbe Omer, Kol sukkah she'en ba'dal ha'ravas psula. You need to have 4 amos by 4 amos. In this Braisa, what do the Chachamim say? Afilu ena machzekas ela rosha baruba kshira. Even if it's only going to accommodate only one's head and most of one's body, the sukkah still going to be kosher, and that says nothing about the table. So now the Gemara says, "Vishul Shachan Alaktani." The Gemara points out, "What do you mean? It doesn't say anything about the table." So we see that the Chum and the second price are holding that you don't need to have your table to make it kosher. So the Gemara is saying, "Vikashin Adadi." The two prices are contradicting itself. The first price makes no mention of the table. Seemingly, it makes mention of the table. It's clearly telling us that you need the table. The second price, which mentions nothing about the table, seemingly holds you do not need the table. So the Gemara says, Kasher, that they're seemingly going to be a stira. Elalav Shmamina, we learn from here that Ha Beis Shammai, that the first Braisa is going to be holding like Beis Shammai, who holds that a sukkah has to be large enough to have one table as well. And Ha Beis Hillel, the second Braisa is telling us in Beis Hillel, you do not need to have the table there as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Majutra, so, and the Gemara wants to bring another proof from this in the same Mishnah. A duke in the Mishnah, same implication from the Mishnah. Masis and Amidaika, our Mishnah can also be interpreted this way. Why? Because that the Mishnah on Chavches over there. The Mishnah says over there, Miktani Beis Shammai posen Vesila Machshirin. That the Mishnah says Beis Shammai say that it's pasul and Vesila say that it's kosher. Vim Isa. But if you said earlier that they're arguing over the size of the sukkah itself, it should say Beis Shammai omrim lo yatza, Vesilim yatza mi baile. You should also have yatza. Why is it saying pasul and kosher? From the notion of yatza, it implies that only over here, would Beis Hillel say that Beis Hillel would imply that you're going to be kosher? The language of the Lashon of Posel and Machshir, valid and invalid, it seems to say that we're talking about the actual sukkah. It's seemingly addressing the minimum size of a sukkah. That's the implication from the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, but wait a second though, that's correct. All this is right. So we've just up two very strong proofs, the Braisa, and now actually that Lashon of the Mishnah seems to imply that the Machlokis is also with regards to the minimum shear. Velakashia Mishahaya, but the case we just mentioned, though, why does it say Lashon of Mishahaya? Someone in this one case, where someone happened to have his head and the table was inside, that's where they argued. Seemed to imply that they're not arguing over the minimum shear. So the Gemara says, why should the Mishnah say like that? So the Gemara says, Lola Matarta Pligirelli. So how are we going to explain this part of the Mishnah? You have to actually fix up the Mishnah. Really, Beisham Yisrael are arguing both cases. Pligi b'sukkah k'tana, they're arguing over sukkah k'tana, a small sukkah with Bishamai saying that it has to be large enough to have one stable as well. Beis Hillel saying you don't. Upligi b'sukkah gedola, they also argue in a case of a large sukkah with Bishamai saying that if in a large sukkah, Bishamai say you're not allowed to eat even in a large sukkah if your table is totally in the house. Where Beis Hillel say it's mutter. The chsuri mechser of achiktani, and the Mishnah's text is missing something. You have to fix the Mishnah's text and amend the Mishnah's text. That's a very dochak answer. We don't like to do this, but we're very stuck. We have to do it. That we amend the Mishnah's text, the text of the Mishnah. What do we say? Mishai rosh of ruba b'sukkah v'shulchan v'sukkah bayis. The first machlokes regarding someone who had his head and most of his body in the sukkah, and his table is inside the house. Beishamai omrim lo yatsa. Beishamai say that he has not fulfilled his obligation. Beisila omrim yatsa. Whereas Beisila say that he has fulfilled his obligation. So therefore, in this case, that's going to be consistent with the Mishaya. Now we're saying an explicit second machlokas where the sukkah is only able to have one's head and most of one's body. And Beishamai say that it's pasul, whereas Beis Hillel say that it is kosher. So that's the case of the small sukkah is going to be now consistent with the lashon of psula versus psula machshir. That's going to work out well. So now we have that the lacha follows Beishamai in the case of the small sukkah, and also Shamay Mashach, that is going to be there. There's a big machlokas we've shown about this, that maybe that Beishamai is going to a small sukkah, maybe that's not considered diras keva, and that would be unrelated issues, and therefore maybe on the case of the minimum shear, we would be able to have machlokas Beishamai silo. That's a little shiloh in the achron we showed it, but we're going to see that for now. The many Yoshim understand that both, there's two machlokas over here, and we're going to pass like Beishamai for both of these cases, because they're all under the rubric of one machlokas. And then that's there's an interesting chumra I think comes out of this also, is that maybe you also always need a table. We see that table is like fundamentally part of it. So that's a shiloh in the achron, and there's a chumra. I don't think we pass like, I don't remember, I haven't asked the Rav, but a case where you're going to sleep and you need to remove the table because there's not enough room for you to sleep without the table. So maybe you should have to leave part of the table inside the, because if it's not, there's not a table there, maybe it's not a shame. Dearest Kevin, from what I remember, Dira for the sukkah. Because you always need a table to say it's a kosher sukkah, that's a shaylan nechonim. Okay, Vaiter. Now the Gemara says, Man Tana Laha, the Tana Rabbanan, who is this Tana that says that we learn in the Braisa? The Braisa is going to tell us various halachas, we're going to get into all of them, please, discuss the various halachas where you need Dalad Amos. Bayashim Ba'arba Amos, Al Araba Amos. If you don't have four Amos by four Amos, that's considered always a minimum shear for a house, and many a minimum shear for a lot of different things. We always have dalad amos and Shabbat. Many things are tall and dalad amos. That's like the minimum shear of walking or doing something. So, by, also a house, the minimum shear for a house is dalad amos. For the following halachas, pater mina mezuzah. It's only going to be chayav in mezuzah. Pesach, lashon abayis, it's only going to be if it's four amos. And mina makeh. Also, for the halacha of makeh, we know that you have to put a fence around a person's roof. The Torah tells you have to put a fence around, right? Lashon pesecha. You have to put a roof around your house. So if less than four amos, you would not need to put a roof around the house. The Chazon Ish just asks on that. What do you mean? All the other halachas I get is a din of bias. But what is the Gemara learns above a Kaaba. The Gemara says that losasim dama veisecha, that we learn a person shouldn't have a kalav ra, a dangerous dog. A person shouldn't have a ladder that's unstable because people might come to use it and fall on it. You shouldn't have things that are dangerous. So how can you tell me over here that this halacha is based on dalad amos? If it's dangerous, dangerous. You should put a fence around it and it would be an itzer deraisa of losasim dama veisecha, which the Gemara learned down above a Kaaba. How could it be over here? You wouldn't need to do a makkah. So he says, no. The makkah, people are careful when they go on a roof. That's clear. Only if it's more than dalad amos, that presents a danger. If it's less, then that's considered eno matzoy, and that you don't have to make a fence. Interesting chazanish. Now the Gemara continues with eno matam and negayim. Also, the lachas of, we know that a house, we learned in Tazir Matzorah and parts of Matzorah, which talks about negayim batim, that if you have the tzara'as affliction on a person's house in Eretz Yisrael, that is a minimum shear only if the house is dalad amos. If it's less than dalad amos, it is going to be considered something which is not subject to the laws of negayim. Ve'ino necha bevate arechoma. Also, we know that bate arechoma is different in other cells. If I sell you something, normally it's my property from my parents, from my father, from my grandfather in Eretz Yisrael, it always goes back to me by Shemitah. After the 50th year, the property will go back to me no matter what. the walls of it, the walled cities of Eretz Yisrael are different. Those are different. Those have the special halachas that I only have 1 year to redeem it and to be poda it. And if not, if I don't poda it in the first year, then I am no longer allowed to poda it ever. It does not go back to me at Yovel. This is only if it's four amos. That's considered a bias. If it's less than four amos, I would get back that little property that I sold you. Okay. Ve'en chozrin ma'orchei al milchama. Also, the pasuk we said that someone who's if a person, we say that a person who is nasa isha, right, aris isha velo nasa, that a person does eris and not nesuin, is only engaged, doesn't get married to her, he should go back from the war. Someone who built a house and didn't finish it yet. So if you didn't finish a house which is less than dalal amos, that's not considered someone who's finishing a house because you don't have to go back for that. That's not considered a bias. Ve'en ma'ariv in bo, you're also not allowed to do erev chateros with such a house. So you don't do. With the house, meaning that we know the times of the Mishnah, right? If you have an opening of one common courtyard, the Rabbanan said it's usher to carry from one to the other. So over here, that is considered everyone who's in the house. You're not considered to be in the house, so therefore, the house is small for Amamas, do not have to be able to, you don't have to contribute the loaf of bread for the Erev Chatziris. And also, very similar to Erev Chatziros. The only difference is that from there, going from the Mavoi, all the residents of the Mavoi want to go into the Chatzir. So that was that's accomplished through preparing the mutual contribution of food, which is called Shutvei Mavoz. And the Brace is teaching us that if one of the Chatziros opening to the Mavoi is only a single house measuring less than Dalat Amos, that courtyard does not need that person does not need to contribute to that. Ve'en manichin bo erev. Also, you don't put an erev chatziris in that house. The loaves of bread are collected and put in someone's house. They can't be in the chatzir. They have to be in someone's house. If it's in your house, it's less than dalat amos. That's not valid. And turning out the next time now. Ve'en osin yo. So ibor bechtei arayos ayaros. That you ayaros not ayaros. Ayaros. So you do not put such a house in between two cities. That when it comes to law of tchum Shabbos, a person may travel more than 2,000 amos from where you are, only if each, from 2,000 amos from the city. How far does the city extend? If the city will extend, every 70 amos, there's another house there. So, you could even connect two cities like that. So, let's say, Yerushalayim can connect to Ramot. This is maybe a part of the style of how luckily Yerushalayim, but you can continue through Ramot to our areas of Yerushalayim. It's all going to connect to one city, halachically, and I can walk all the way there on Shabbos because there's a continuous, 70 amos from here till those areas of houses. Now that would only be if there's a house. If this house is in between it, that would not connect the two cities. And brothers and shutvin, people are partners in a house. You do not divide this. At this point, the Gemara seems to understand that they cannot force another to divide such a house because it's not considered a property. The Gemara is going to discuss this in a little bit. We're going to get to that. And then Lema, so now the Gemara suggests this whole Braisa, Lema Rebbe, maybe it's only Pinner of Rebbe, who says when it comes to Sukkah, it has to be four Amos. Velor Abanan, the Rabbanan over here, who say that it could be Zayin al Zayin Tefachim, it'd only be six or seven Tefachim, are going to argue, seemingly, because they hold that that's the minimum shear of a Sukkah. So seemingly, they hold it by these other halakhas as well. So the Gemara says, no, Filotin Rabbanan, this Braisa is going to follow even the Rabbanan, because Adkan lo ka'amre Rabbanan, you should fix the gear. So I should say, Hasam rather, Hacha. The Rabbanan over here, with regards to a Sukkah, Ela Inan Sukkah, over here, they're saying that it has to be Zayin al Zayin Tefachim. Why? Because it's specifically Diras Arahi. You can have less than a permanent structure because it's temporary. Of Alagavi bias, but all these halakhas which require a bias, they have a halakha of a bias, as we mentioned, all these have halakhas of a house. That diras keva, you need a diras keva. Filim murabanan mode the e is by arba amos al arba amos. Only if they have four amos by four amos, that's a minimum shear, 6 feet by 6 feet. That's considered a minimum shear of a house. The diar be inchi, people could theoretically live in that. The lo diar be inchi, if not, people would not live in anything smaller than that. In which case, then you would that case it would be mode that you need dal amos for all these halachas. Support from a zuz and things like that. If you have a tiny little closet which is less than 6 by 6. Feet roughly again with the dalat amos, then you would not need to put a mezuzah on that closet. All the halachas of dalat amos by all these other halachas. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Meir, we learn in a brisa patur min a mezuzah min a makkah, that the house that does not have a four amos by four amos is going to be exempt from mezuzah and from putting a fence around the roof. The Gemara says v'yamatam ben agam, also not matam ben agam v'yam nechad v'vayter rechoma. All the halakhas that we mentioned before. My time. What is the reason that this house is exempt from all these halakhas? Because the Gemara says that we just quoted it many times, based on the Gemara is quoting it now, the answer of the bias, that the words bias, house, is written with reference to all of these, therefore anything less than this is not considered a bias, in which case all these halakhas wouldn't apply. A person does not make Erev Chatziris to such a house, those doesn't make a Shutfei Mevos with this house either. What's the reason for all these halakhas? Because anything less than four amos is not fit
for living in, and therefore all these are not, you need to be considered fit for living in for the halachas of bringing it for the courtyard to the chatzar and all these different halachas that we mentioned before. Now the Gemara continues. Eruvei chatzeros ein manichin bo. You do not place eruv chatzeros in such a house. Aval shituf manichin bo, but you can do the shituf. The shituf mavoy is between the mavoy, the courtyard and the adjacent mavoy, the other open area. My title, why are you allowed to put it? But what's the difference between the eruv and the shituf mavoy? This reminds us a little bit of Maseches Erevin. The Gemara says because the lo gar mechatzer shemavoy. A house smaller than 4 amos is no worse than a courtyard in a mavoy. When it comes to a building which is less than 4 amos, then it has not a legal bias. Fine, but let's review it as if we remove the walls and the roof, so then it's part of the chatzer. And if something is in the chatzer, a shituf is allowed to be placed in a courtyard of a mavoy. That's the halacha. When it comes to shituf mavoy, you do not need to place it in a house of someone. The whole idea is the eruv is symbolically allowing the residents of the chatzer to be viewed as part of living in one house. It doesn't matter that the eruv is fit to be where you're living. It doesn't even dalat amos. When it comes to the shituf over here, you're just merging all of the chateras. I don't know if I mentioned this. I think I got it wrong. You're merging all of the chateras together when the shituf mavoy is being used. And therefore, as long as the shituf is in a place that's protected in one of the chateras, it doesn't matter. It's going to be kosher. So this is no worse than that, and it's going to be kind of considered part of the chater. Now the Gemara brings a proof. It's not, we learned in the Braisa, which is Tanya probably, really Mishnah Braisa, whatever. We learned in the Braisa over there. Eruv chateras bechater. Eruv chateras are placed in the courtyard. Shituvim mavos b'mavay. The shituvim mavos can be placed in a mavay. Vavinaba. Rabbi asks, is that really true though? Eruv chateras bechater. Eruv chateras can be placed in the courtyard. But that's not, don't we learn in the Mishnah that hanosan eruv b'vay shar chaser da b'vayis, that someone puts his eruv in a gatehouse or in an entranceway or a gallery, literally, ain't no eruv. All these places are not an eruv because none of these are considered an area which people live in. An eruv chateras has to be in a place that's fit for living. The hadar sham ain't no oser, and the one who lives there is not going to answer and restrict other people from carrying. So clearly an eruv must be located in an area that has to be placed, that has to be able to be lived in. So the Gemara fixes it. Ela ema eruv chateros bebayis shebechatzer. Rather, we should say that the Braisa meant that the eruv chateros are placed in a house of the courtyard. Veshetufei mavoz bechatzer shemavoy. And the shetufei mavoz are placed in the courtyard of the mavoy. V'hai lo gar mechatzer shemavoy. The Gemara says, and therefore the house is smaller than 4 amos, is no worse than the courtyard of a mavoy, which we're saying is valid. So therefore the eruv must may not be placed in a small house for eruv chateros, but for shituf mavoz, it would be allowed to be placed there. As we explained before, the difference between shituf mavoz and eruv chateros. Now the Gemara quotes a ruling from the Braisa. Ve'en osin oso ibar ben shteirais. You can't put it between two houses. The Gemara says that kiburganin lo mashvinin lei. We don't even click the case of huts. We mentioned that if you have huts where even what it's fit for one person to live between cities, that would be able to extend the city. You could build huts and purposely extend cities for the purpose of Tchum Shabbos. I could walk from here to as far as I want, all the way to northern Israel, if theoretically they were burgan in there, if they had these huts. And so the Gemara is pointing out that this house, which is less than Dal Amos, is actually worse than a burgan. That's fascinating. So Gemara says, why? Because my time, a burgan, chazam aside, the huts are fit for their intended purpose, the person to live there, one person. Hi, lo chazam ilse, this isn't a house. It's not considered a house. The huts are fit for one person to sleep at nighttime, since that's what the function of it, that's purpose. A house is meant to be built for constant use, and this isn't used. This is not a constant use, therefore it's not going to be qualified to be able to link the two cities. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Ve'en achin v'shut v'cholkinbo, and the brothers and the partners don't divide such a house. The Gemara says, this is seemingly a problem. Time delays by arba amos because only the whole interior space is less than 4 amos. However, ha'is by arba amos chokin, if it had more than 4 amos, the whole interior was more than 4 amos, then you would be allowed to divide it. The Gemara says, "Vatnan, don't we learn in a Mishnah? Ein chokin as chater, we do not divide a chater." Not just that if it was, let's say, 6 amos, we would divide it. So the implication now is if it was the house with 6 amos, we could divide it 3 amos by 3 amos for each of us. That's not true. We need to be a minimum of 8 amos because it needs to be divided each of us to have something called a house. Something called a house needs to be 8 amos. This braces seem to imply that as long as it's anything more than 4 amos, I could divide it. But once I'm dividing it, each person is going to get less than dalat amos. That is seemingly problematic with this Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to explain the rationale for the braces. The Gemara says, Ela'ema ein bo din chaluke chachatzir. Rather, the braces is telling you that such a house is not subject to the laws of the normal halachas of dividing a chater, chaluke chater, or bachater. Different gear says, Damar of Gunar Rav says, chater lefi pesachea machlekes. A courtyard is divided according to its entrances, meaning the house is owned by each partner in the courtyard. Rav Huna is saying that if two brothers inherited a courtyard, then one had a largest, one a small house. The brothers divided the houses. Let's say one of them takes the largest, the other takes a small house. So then the ones who take the small house are going to be entitled to more area of the courtyard. The one who gets the larger house is going to be taking less. So this halacha is going to be different. Rav Chista Amar nosin la pesach a pesach arba amos. Whereas we say each one gets 4 amos in the entrance. Vashal chokin also bishavet, where the partners are going to divide the remainder of the courtyard equally. So the Braisa is teaching us that when it comes to this halacha, it is not applied to a house that has less than 1,000 amos. That's the point. Since each home, the person whose orders require the space for the courtyard for unloading things, and each house automatically receives an area in front of the area with the width of its doorway extending for almost into the courtyard, one of these unloading zones has been divided. The remaining courtyard is going to be divided by the two brothers. So Gemara says, Dahane mila beis bais mahave kai. Because these halachas, you get areas in front of the house, that's only where you actually have a house. So we're going to give an area of the chatzar, the courtyard, along with it, the four amos in front of it, to the chatzar. However, this halacha with regards to the house is measuring less than four amos squared, de la mitzarkai. It's going to be destroyed anyway. It's unusable. It's not a house. Lo yavina le chatzar. Therefore, we're not going to give it a chatzar of a dalad amos in front of it. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Haisa gavah me'eshim amet. The sukkah is above 20 amos high. Ubalimait bikarim uksasos. If you want to minimize, again, it's above 20 amos. Let's say it's 21 amos. So then, for one amma, I'll put my mattresses and my cushions across the sukkah floor, therefore raising the floor, and therefore the sukkah is less than 20 amos. Lo avimiyot, that's not going to be valid. Why not? As Rashi explains, because you're definitely going to leave the mattress and the cushions on the floor. You're not going to leave it all 7 days. Maybe they're going to get ruined, trampled, therefore you might take it out, and we're afraid you'll take it out, and therefore it's not going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, Va'afagav, the Levinu Lakula. So no, the guy says, I'm not taking it out. He verbally says, I'm not taking it out. I promise I'm driving, the prophet's not even making a neder necessarily, but he just says, I'm not taking out the whole chag. The Gemara says no, because in Devala Daita, most people, I mean, Makba, they see their pillows, they see their fancy blankets getting ruined, they feel their fancy sheets and their whole mattress is getting ruined, they are going to remove it. And they're going to actually come to Sinasukkah above the height of 20 amos, so that would be a problem. So therefore, even though you think that you wouldn't make an issue, we say, Batla Daita, that your das, your intent is going to be nullified versus everybody else, because most people would in fact move it, and therefore you're not allowed to do it yourself. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with Teva Nevatla Bez Hashem tomorrow.